Wonderful. Well, I'm very excited to be here today. And we're going to have an incredible morning and a special night tonight. I'm going to preach a Christmas message this evening. This morning, I'm going to talk about something that I believe is going to stir your faith. But before I do that, I always introduce my family wherever I go. I know many of you have known me for many years, but there'll be people in here and watching online and in the other locations that don't know me. But I'm married to one wife. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? It's a good start. Her name's Lisa. There she is. And I know what you're all thinking. God has been good to her. God has been very good to her. And we are blessed with two miracle children. And, you know, we actually had, this is my two daughters. We had another girl that was a stillborn. She would have been nine next year. She would have been nine. And we were told after the birth of baby Elle that we would not be able to conceive, or that we would have difficulty conceiving due to a number of different circumstances. However, how many of you know that when you hold faith in one hand and hope in the other, that God can meet you in the middle? And God blessed us, if you put them back up again, but God blessed us with Lila Hope and Lucille Faith. Lila Hope and Lucille Faith. And I show them wherever I go to give you a bit of hope, to give you a bit of faith. Because whatever you're believing for, even if it's impossible, even if it's something you've been praying about for many years, with God, all things are possible. So keep the faith. Do you believe it? Good. All right, well, let me pray, and then we'll get into this morning's word. Father God, we thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in and through this church. And Lord, I want to pray today, Lord, that you move amongst us this morning, that every man, every woman, every child, under the sound of my voice, will leave church different to the way they came in. Lord, I pray that you will renew people's minds, that you will refresh their soul, that you will transform hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will have your way in this place today. Lord, let this word be a word in season. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen and amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is this: Give It Another Go. Give it another go. Have you ever walked away from something too soon? Perhaps it was a career opportunity, a strategic relationship, a dream. Maybe right now you feel trapped in a certain area of your life, because your present reality does not match up to which was once your future expectation. And it's not necessarily down to what you did. You put in the maximum effort, you had the right conversations, you worked hard, yet the outcome wasn't what you had hoped for. The doors didn't open in the way you thought they would have. So you feel let down. You put it to the back of your mind and you walked away from whatever that thing is and you moved on. Oh, if there's anyone in here today that has ever felt like that, I'm glad you're in church this morning. Now, I want to talk to you from a passage of text here in Luke chapter 5. Luke 5 verse 1 through to 9. And I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version. We're going old school today. How many of you brought your Bible? Oh, good. Actually, more hands than some other churches I go to. That's good. I see a few phones as well. They count. Okay. Luke 5, and it starts off here in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. They're talking about Jesus here. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to them. And when they came, they filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. What a story. In Luke 5, Simon and his friends are exhausted after a long night of fishing. They had worked hard, gone through their usual routines to give them the best chance of catching some fish, yet they caught nothing. Experienced, knowledgeable, professional fishermen with zero to show for their efforts. They were now so done with their night that the Bible says they were back on the shore cleaning their nets. In other words, there were no more plans to go back out into the water. The night was done. It was a write-off. And yet moments later, we read that they are now reeling in a catch of fish so large that their net began to break, and everyone there was astonished. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I see a disappointing, a frustrating, a hopeless situation turn around into a miraculous moment, I want to know what happened. What changed? What caused that situation to do a complete 180? I want to tell you what I discovered when I read this text. What is it that we can learn? What did Simon do? How did their situation change so that can impact and affect our situation? And so I want to encourage you with three keys this morning that are going to give that thing another go. I don't know what that thing is for you. I don't know what it is, but I want to encourage you today that you're going to give it another go. Giving it another go means this. Number one is that you need to trust in God's timing. Trust in God's timing. At the start of every year, my wife, Lisa, and I pray and believe God for a specific word or a verse or a passage of text in the Bible that we can hold on to for the next 12 months. Amazingly, at the beginning of 2022, we both felt drawn to this exact passage of text here in Luke 5. And to be even more specific than that, in particular, it was verse 4. This had never happened before. We'd been married about 9 or 10 years by then, and we had never felt the same verse for that word. And it was here in Luke 5, 4, which said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, for several years, Lisa and I had been living in the south of England due to Lisa's job. She's a doctor, and she has a very specific role. But our dream had been to move back to Norwich, the city of my birth, to be with my family and my friends. You see, Lisa works long hours. I travel a lot with my ministry, and we have two daughters to look after and raise. So we needed some help. However, every time Lisa explored job opportunities in and around the Norwich area, the doors would not open. In fact, we prayed about it for 5 years. 5 years exploring, looking at various options, and nothing came to pass. And so we had laid it down. But then we got this word, launch out into the deep. In other words, give it another go. Believe again. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've been believing God for something for a long time and you've exhausted all the options, the last thing you want to hear is try again, is give it another go. We felt like those fishermen did that night. We knew the landscape of Lisa's work. We had exhausted every option, and opening in her field was virtually impossible. Only a miracle would change the situation. Yet that was the word for 2022. Well, to cut a long story short, later that year, Lisa got a job 1 hour away from Norwich in a different hospital. We sold our house when the housing market was growing absolutely crazy in the decline, and we were told, oh, what a bad time to sell. Oh, we bet you wish that you'd sold 6 months ago. I said, no, but we're on God's time. We're on God's time. 3 months later, we moved to Norwich on the 20th of December, 2022. It took a year. It took 12 months. Periods of silence, unforeseen obstacles, days of doubt. But knowing we were on God's timing, knowing we were trusting in His word, gave us the reassurance we needed that He would fulfill His promise. Now, I don't tell you my story to brag. I share it to encourage you. To encourage you this, that sometimes it's not what you are believing for is wrong. It has more to do with whether the timing is right. It's not about what you're believing for is wrong. It's about whether the timing is right. You see, the fishermen, they had done everything that night. They were in the right place, doing the right thing. But it was only after an encounter with Jesus. It was only after they acknowledged Him as Master did their situation change. You see, trusting in God's timing is difficult. When we say a prayer, we want an immediate answer. When we throw out our nets, when we knock on heaven's door, when we present our request to Him, we want to bring in a harvest straight away. But when that doesn't happen, we can become so discouraged, so disappointed, so down and defeated. But it's normal to feel that way when you desperately desire something. However, it's during those times that you need to remind yourself what the Bible says. That God listens. It says in Jeremiah 29:12 that God listens to all of our prayers. In Romans 8:28 says that God works together all things for our good. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. In the book of Isaiah 55 verse 9, God said this, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In other words, God is saying this, that when things do not go to plan, your plan, or come to pass on your timetable, you need to trust me a little bit more. You need to trust me a little bit more. I, God, see beyond what you currently see. And so trust me. Trusting in God's timing means this. It means being comfortable that even though you don't know how everything is going to work out, you have a peace within that God does. I'll say that again. Trusting in God's timing means being comfortable that even though you don't know how everything's going to work out, you have a peace within that God does. You see, sometimes God doesn't give you that answer or answer that prayer or give you what you desire overnight because He's preparing you or protecting you. That's what a good father does. Would you buy your child a car for their 14th birthday because they really, really wanted one? I mean, it would be a generous gift. But it would also be a very unwise gift on so many levels. You see, a wise father, a loving mother would wait until they are old enough, until they have passed the test, until they are ready to cruise the streets of Preston before giving them such a gift or answering their request, despite how many times they may have pleaded with their parents. You see, for Lisa and I, we obviously were not ready for that relocation in the previous 5 years of trying. God still had to shape us. He still had to mold us. He still had to teach us so that when we were ready to step into the appointed time, we could handle the blessing and everything else that God was going to give us. It's a timing thing. Timing is everything. And for some of you in here today and watching at the various locations, you may have to wait a little bit longer, but that's okay. That's okay. Take heart. Be still. Wait well. God is working things out behind the scenes. Do you know, I believe with all my heart that the moment you pray, if that prayer is in line with God's will, then all of heaven starts moving to answer your prayer. He will show up at the right time. You won't miss out. Some of you feel like you're going to miss out. You will not miss out when you're in God's timing. For others in here, the wait is over. The wait is over. This is your time. This is your time to launch out into the deep. I know it may not make sense. I know you've tried this before and you've walked this path with little success, but that was in your timing. Now is God's timing. Do you know what? Had the fishermen gone out the next day, I'm sure they would have caught something eventually. However, there is a difference between your success and God's success, and it's called timing. Timing. Timing is everything. Oh, timing is everything. Now is your time to go again. Now is your time to move again. Now is your time to believe again. You are not going to go into a new year with the same old problems. I sense God is saying to someone in this very room, that you need to run after that dream again. Ask that question again. Apply for that role again. Chase down that justice again. Give your marriage another go again. Have that conversation again. Initiate that business again. Seek that help again. Get up again. For this time, when you knock on the door, it shall be opened unto you. Oh, give it another go. Turn to your neighbor and say, give it another go. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor. And say, give it another go. I've been doing that joke for 13 years and you still fall for it, some of you. Especially the husbands, you always turn the wrong way first. The second thing to giving it another go is this, number two, is that it requires obedience. Giving it another go requires obedience. Listen to Luke 5:5. It said, but Simon answered Jesus and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net again. Simon did obey, not straight away though. There was some pushback. You notice there was some pushback there. You see, at this point in time, he didn't know Jesus too well. He may have known of him. He may have even heard him speak. But right here in the Bible, he was not yet one of Jesus' disciples. He was still Simon the fisherman and a professional fisherman at that, which makes this part of the story even more fascinating. He spent his days and his nights out on the open waters. He knew how to catch fish. He did not need to listen to the suggestions of anyone else, especially that of a carpenter. A carpenter trying to advise a fisherman. But there was obviously something very different about Jesus. To call him master publicly was an acknowledgement of his authority. And it certainly demonstrated this level of humility. Now, there was some hesitation in Simon's response. He was quick, very quick, to let Jesus know, I've done what you've asked. I've explored the options, and I haven't had much success. However, he still chose to obey. Do you know, following God's commands aren't always easy. They can stretch you, convict you, challenge you, frustrate you, change you. Sometimes they make such little sense at the time, you question it was God at all. I remember being in church one Sunday night, back in 2006, when I was in Bible college in Sydney, Australia, and it was an evening service. And before the evening service, I had a routine. I was a student. And before the night service, I would go to the local cash machine, and I'd withdraw around 70 Australian dollars. That was about 40 pounds. Because straight after the night service, I would go down to the local supermarket and do my weekly shop. Now, I always did that then because the shop was quiet. And I like quiet, even though I'm very loud. I like quiet, especially when I'm shopping. And so this night, I go into church. I had my $70 in my wallet. And and I'm worshiping God, and all of a sudden I thought I heard God speak to me and say, Luke, I want you to empty the contents of your wallet to that elderly couple sitting about six rows away from you. Now, at first I said, get behind me, Satan. I am a student. I am on a budget. There is no way I can give up my weekly shop. I need my protein. Yeah. But again, I heard this voice, empty the contents of your wallet. All through the service, I kept feeling and hearing it. And so I thought, all right, okay, fair enough. I didn't know what God was doing, but I believed that he was up to something. I didn't know this couple. I'd never seen them before. I'd never met them. But after the service, I went to them and I gave them my $70. In that moment, this old lady, bless her heart, she started to weep and cry uncontrollably. And then she told me that there was a bill, an outstanding bill for $70 that they had not been able to pay, and it had caused so much distress and heartache. And so I thought, well, thank you, Lord. My work here is done. However, 12 months later, I bumped into this couple again. I hadn't seen them since that very day. And they had been carrying around an envelope for several weeks, hoping to bump into me. I opened the envelope, and inside of the envelope was $140. It was double what I gave them a year previous. And they said to me, Luke, the moment you came to us with that money, our financial situation completely turned around, where we have not been in any lack since, to the point where we can now bless you double. I was a student. I had 3 weeks left of college and I was broke. And they blessed me with enough money to see me through my final couple of weeks in Sydney, Australia. Give God a hand if you believe in miracles this morning. You see, the Bible says in Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. In other words, obedience to God brings success. Obedience to God brings success. God doesn't ask you to do certain things because he's out to get you. The Bible doesn't say that we are to keep his commands because God is a control freak and wants to spoil your fun. No. It says the complete opposite. In fact, someone once told me that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for best instructions before leaving earth. Best instructions before leaving earth. You see, the Bible is an instruction manual written by God, our maker, our creator, so that you can hear his heart and follow his guidance. It has been written so that you and I live out the best life that we can live whilst here on earth. This instruction manual is here to help and not hinder. It is written so that you thrive and do not dive. They have been penned, the words in this book have been penned to reveal God's heart, God's plan for humanity. God is waiting on you to obey him. He's waiting on your obedience for you to hear his voice and then act on it. That's why Jesus didn't make the fish just jump straight into the boat that night. Think about that. He could have done that. Jesus could have had every single fish in that lake leap up out of the water and land in the boat. But that would have required no obedience. As spectacular as that would have looked. Jesus is not going to do everything for you in the same way. He's not going to do everything for Simon in the same way he's not going to do everything for you. You have a part to play, and it starts by being obedient, surrendering your heart to his ways. It means following his commands. When you do that, you will find that the fish are waiting on you. Oh, I wonder what God has in store for you on the other side of your obedience. I wonder what's waiting for you, for obedience always brings reward. My third and final point, perhaps the keys can come forward. Is this helping you? I'm just getting warmed up. You wait for tonight, I tell you. We're going to have a good time tonight as well. The third and final key when it comes to giving it another go is this, number three, is that giving it another go demands active faith. It demands active faith. Obedience is not only hearing the word of God, it is acting on it. Launch out. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Do you know, launch means to send out, to throw yourself into it. To launch implies a level of force, a degree of commitment. You see, once that net leaves your hands, there's no going back. That net is now totally committed to where it's going to land. Oh, I see it like faith, to fully step into the unknown without seeing the complete path. But acting out and stepping out in faith is so much easier to say than do. Yet Jesus was very intentional with his language to Simon. Launch out into the deep. Don't just tentatively drop your nets over the side of the boat. Oh, maybe I'll catch something. Oh, maybe I won't. Oh, maybe it'll be a good night. Maybe it won't. Maybe I'll experience something new. Maybe I won't. No. Jesus says, launch out. Throw that thing out with conviction that you 100% believe that you're going to bring something back. You see, when an aeroplane is on the runway, getting ready to take off, firstly, you better hope that the pilot has enough faith to get this big machine up into the air. And secondly, that he or she knows where the acceleration pedal is. Because the only way that aircraft is coming off the ground is when they put their foot down on that acceleration, they go full throttle on that runway. Do you know, there can be no looking back on the runway. There can be no hesitation on the runway. They have to be all in if they're going to see this aeroplane take flight. You see, you will also notice that to launch something means to let go of something. The plane cannot truly experience the wind beneath its wings or do what it was created to do whilst on the ground. It has to let go of the land to enjoy the air. A plane cannot be caught between the two. See, I believe with all my heart that God has got something for you. Blessings, breakthrough, answers. But it is going to require both a letting go and a stepping out. A letting go and a stepping out. And some of you know that. You know that. You know what you're supposed to do. But you find yourself trapped between the two. There are days when you want to take the step, but you can't let go of the net. And there are other days where you can let go of the net, but then you stand there and you don't have the courage to take the step. You've seen God open the door. You know that his hand is on your life, but you don't walk through it. Maybe it's because you don't feel worthy enough or qualified enough or good enough. It could be that you've seen a glimpse to your future, but you can't let go of the past. You have to keep holding on to that little bit of pain. You hold on to that little bit of unforgiveness. You hold on to that finance. You say you're living in freedom, but truly there's still something in you that you can't fully let go of. Do you know, letting go of the familiar to experience the unknown is always very daunting. You know, when we know our surroundings, when we know our routines, it's so tempting to want to stay there like a baby bird that is nestled inside of the comfort of their mother's nest. Oh, we stay in that place of comfort, in that place of security, even when we don't like it. Even when we don't feel like we fit anymore, we allow the thought of change to overwhelm us. And that's why so many people just settle where they're at. But friend, can I tell you, being afraid of the unknown, being afraid of the future, it paralyzes you. It paralyzes you. It stops you from entering into the abundance, the blessing, and the adventure that God has in store for you. Oh, if a baby bird does not let go of the side of its mother's nest, if it does not launch out, it will never know that it has wings to fly. It will never see beyond what they can be seeing in the nest. Stretch out, stretch out, stretch out. Like a bird wasn't designed to stay in its nest, or an aeroplane created to sit on the runway, you were not created to live in shallow waters. There is more for you. From the youngest to the oldest, there is more for you. And don't tell me you're too old. I baptized my grandma at 80 years old. 80 years old. She would live one more year after her baptism, but that was the happiest, most fruitful, most productive year of her life. Launch out into the deep. Oh, yes, it's scary. You're going to have to be courageous. Oh, it may be unfamiliar, but it's in that place. It's in that place where you come to know the sustaining power, the divine plan, and the abundant provisions of God. Perhaps I can bring the band forward as I bring this to a close. I promise you I'm nearly finished, otherwise I'll just preach all day. I want to show you one more thing in this story. You see, as impressive as this miracle was, I actually believe that Jesus wanted to do more on this day. I know that they couldn't physically fit any more fish into the boat, but let me show you something here. In Luke 5:4, Jesus told Simon to let down his nets for a catch. But in Luke 5:5, Simon responded to Jesus and said, "I will let down the net." Nets. Net. Nets. Net. Oh, Simon had some faith. He was obedient, but there was still a little bit of doubt. Doubt which I'm sure he regretted a few moments later as he saw his net, now full of fish, starting to break. Oh, if only he had believed Jesus a little bit more. Friend, I don't want you to get to the end of your life and you look back and say, "If only I had believed you a little bit more. If only I had stepped out a little bit more. If only I had trusted you a little bit more." This week, I want you to pray a big prayer. Let's do something. Let's do something that requires faith. Let's do something that sees that situation, that thing that we've been believing God for so long. Let's believe that it can turn around, that it can happen. Remember who you're praying to. Remember who you're serving. Remember who you're living for. Our God in heaven is an almighty God, a loving Father that is not lacking or limited. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is the El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Oh, who wants to bless you, lead you, guide you. There are no limits. There are no limits on what my God can do. No limits, but it's going to require a faith-filled heart. It's going to require a level of obedience. It's going to require some active faith. Oh, can I encourage you that as this year draws to a close, let's make sure that we step in to 2024 ready to live our life fully committed to Jesus. Don't you give God just a little bit of your time, a little bit of your tithe, a little bit of your effort, a little bit of your energy. No, give living for Jesus your everything. Throw yourself into his plans. Launch yourself out into the deep. If Jesus could fill an empty net of fish, then I wonder how he can fill a life fully devoted to him. Oh, I pray today that this next year, God will astonish you in more ways than you could ever believe, ever imagine, or ever hope. Come on, man, would you stand to your feet and let's take a moment to worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on. About this story is on that very day Jesus did that miracle for Simon. The Bible says that day he put down his nets. Simon put down his nets and he followed Jesus. That very moment, that very day was the day he said, that's it. I'm following Jesus for the rest of my days. Everything changed on that day for Simon. And I want to take a moment to give people in this place and those at the various locations and those watching online to make the same decision that Simon did that day. Say, that's it. I'm putting down my ways of living and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make my peace with God. I'm going to invite him to come and live in me. And so if I can have every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around. The Bible says Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. But the Bible says 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, making a way for you and I to be forgiven, loved, and accepted. The Bible calls it the gift of salvation. You cannot buy it, earn it, or work for it. You simply have to repent of your sins, which means you say sorry to God for all the bad things you've done. You turn towards him, and you invite him to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. So right now, I want to give people an opportunity to make that decision and say yes to him. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Perhaps it's the first time you've ever come to church. Or maybe once upon a time you did say yes to Jesus, but you've backslidden. You're following your own path. But you know today, you need to recommit your life to Christ. If that's you on three, I just want you to slip up your hands. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you to the front. I would love the privilege of praying with you in this very moment. Here we go, on three. One, two, three. That's it. Just lift those hands high. Wonderful. That's it. Thank you. Wonderful. Anyone else join these people this morning? Wonderful. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. But especially those of you that are making that decision today, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you want to say yes to Jesus, repeat this prayer after me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards you and I accept your gift of grace. I ask that you would use me as a follower of Christ to make your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give those people and our God a round of applause.